Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Been a busy week for news coming out of Venezuela. It's this week the U.S. government added Venezuelan Vice President Tariq El Asami to its sanctions list. They claim that he played a significant role in international narcotics trafficking, and they have frozen assets to a fortune estimated at $3 billion. Then, in what looked like an unrelated move, the Venezuelan government ordered cable providers to take CNN en Español off the air. Now, this move comes days after CNN played an investigation into alleged fraudulent issuing of Venezuelan passports and visas. All right, let's get an update on what's happening in Venezuela. Joining me now, I have Antonio Delgado. He's a reporter for El Nuevo Herald. Antonio, welcome to the program.
Hi, Luis. Thanks for having me on.
Also, Teresa Frontado, she's WLRN's digital director, joining me here in studio, I think for the first time. Teresa, welcome.
Hi, Luis. It's not the first time, but...
Well, first time with me, so
yes,
how about that?
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Antonio, real quickly, let's kind of get a feel for what's been happening, because all of a sudden Venezuela, under new President Trump, all of a sudden it's in the news, but... So what happens? One, we put sanctions on their vice president. Then they throw out one of our media companies. What's going on?
They've been wanting to throw out CNN for a long time. It has become a very inconvenient news outlet operating in Venezuela, reporting what's going on. But they came out with this investigation last week, basically saying that diplomatic officials were selling passports in the Middle East to people that with dubious backgrounds, people that might be that could be have been appointed to have links with extremist groups in the Middle East, and that's something that has been investigated before. And some of the investigations led to Tariq El Asami, who was appointed vice president in January. When he was in charge of the Interior Ministry, he was he's believed to have been providing passports and documents to members of the Hezbollah organization, to which he has ties. So when the CNN report came out, obviously it caused some waves. And then the following week, we have the sanctions introduced against El Asami and against his front man, Venezuelan businessman, Samarc Lopez. And so the Maduro regime came out and blocked CNN.
So all right, so they are related.
Yes,
the two issues. Okay, so it was a form of retaliation, but as you said, they've been dealing with CNN en Español for some time, and this just was, I guess, the straw that broke the camel's back. Is the U.S. government basically calling Venezuela's vice president a drug dealer?
Yes, he was named a kingpin, and he was sanctioned under the Kingpin Act, and it is believed that he leads one of the major drug cartels in Venezuela. There are two different competing organizations involved with drug trafficking, and they're headed by high-ranking officials in the Maduro government.
All right. Teresa Frontado, you know what? I mean, there's been so many issues in over the last few years in Venezuela that we have reported on the struggles. There have been so many protests. People are struggling to just buy basic items, things to survive. But everything that's been happening under now President Donald Trump, how is that translating in Venezuela? Do you see this escalating, or does it even matter in Venezuela considering what they're dealing with?
Well, this last move is significant, not only because it's the first act that the new U.S. administration takes, but it's showing a new path, if you want, on the relationship between the opposition and the Venezuelan government. As has been reported in the past by by Antonio, for example, the Obama government pressured hard for a dialogue between the opposition and the government, and efforts to condemn the Maduro government in international organizations.
What's changed under President Trump? Has anything changed?
Well, I mean, it's significant that. Not only that El Asami was included in the Kingpin list, if you want, but that 2 days later he met with the wife of one of the most prominent opposition leaders who's in jail, Leopoldo López. His wife was in the White House with Donald Trump. She was brought in by Marco Rubio, and there's a famous photo, and President Trump tweeted about it, expressing his support for the political prisoners and demanding the release of López and other political prisoners.
And real quickly, who is López as a reminder?
Leopoldo López is an opposition leader who was jailed after manifestations and after being the leader of protests in Venezuela, and there was an irregular trial against him, and he's in jail.
And Antonio Delgado, as Teresa mentioned, Senator Marco Rubio was at the White House this week speaking with President Trump about that particular issue. They're asking for his release, correct?
Yes. President Trump even tweeted saying basically that the Venezuelan government should free Leopoldo López. And Marco Rubio was present at the meeting with Lilian Tintori. He was there, actually. I believe he helped organize the meeting. It's very significant that they met. And also, it's very significant that the U.S. government included Eli Saimi in the sanction list. Eli Saimi is a key member of the Venezuelan regime, and the fact that his assets were frozen sends a very powerful signal. I also understand that this is the beginning, that there might be other sanctions that might be coming out pretty soon. So some of these Venezuelan officials involved in the drug trafficking might be facing the sanctions pretty soon.
I think it's also important, again, to see the whole context, because you could have said, well, El Asaimi being on the kingpin list was made by a transition team, and it was kind of a leftover from Obama administration, but as if to answer any doubts, President Trump meets with the wife of Leopoldo López and tweets about it. So I think it's a clear signal from the U.S., from the new administration, that there's going to be changes in the way that they're dealing with the Venezuelan crisis.
What do you hear, Teresa, from folks in Venezuela about President Trump, this administration, and what they hope is going to happen, what they hope President Trump might do?
Well, the hope of all Venezuelans is to come to a peaceful solution to the current crisis. People are starving. Getting basic food, getting medicine, getting basic supplies is a hard is a challenge. And what people want is a peaceful solution. And it's a peaceful solution for them.
And Antonio, I mean, do they have confidence that under this administration that there could be progress made?
I think people are just waiting and seeing. And to add to what Teresa was saying, there was a report coming out today suggesting that the poverty levels in Venezuela right now are probably higher than the ones in Haiti. And this is from a country that it's rich in oil and it with its citizens accustomed to a higher standards of living. So there's a lot of dissatisfaction and there's a lot of suffering. They're looking at what the White House is doing. I think there was a little bit of dissatisfaction in the past as to the way the U.S. was handling the crisis in Venezuela. But there's, you know, after the Tintori meeting in Washington, after the sanction list of the inclusion of the sanction list of Tarek El Aissami, they believe that the U.S. might play a more active role in trying to guide Venezuela out of its current situation.
And it's a story that we will continue following, obviously. Antonio Delgado is reporter for El Nuevo Herald. Teresa Frontado is WLRN's digital director. Thank you both so much. In these last couple of minutes, I just wanted to briefly update you on what is happening at the Miami-Dade County Commission, because again, they are meeting to discuss the issue of immigration. This is a heated debate, and from what I have gathered, the information that I have is that there was an overflow of people, that they filled that space to capacity in the first 20 minutes. People are actually outside of the commission hall trying to listen in. There are lawyers and state representatives. Senator Javier Rodriguez spoke at the podium. He said that Miami-Dade County was too quick to comply with resolutions from President Trump. He said that, quote, this is an appeasement of an administration that's barely a month old, unquote. Juan Cuba, who is the chair of the Miami-Dade Democratic Party, has said it is unclear the Department of Justice will implement President Trump's resolutions. There is a sense of urgency and disappointment by the community right now, it seems. There are a lot of speakers who have personal ties to immigrants who may be here illegally, and They're worried about how the detainee policy might impact their lives. Again, a lot of people are there, and we're going to keep following that story, and we will keep you updated. So stay tuned throughout the afternoon here on WLRN to let you know what's happening there. Again, that meeting started early this morning, and from what I gathered, it is still going on right now. I do want to mention one thing real quickly before we finish up today. It is, I did have that information right in front of me, but you know what? Just wanted to send out some congratulations to someone here in our team. I'm just popping up. We're having one of those technical days today. That's what it is. Here it is. I know. Hold on. as we wrap up the program, we've added someone to our WLRN family. Our health reporter, Sammy Mack, gave birth to a baby boy this week. So congratulations, Sammy, to you and to your whole family. And I just wanted to make sure I get that out there. That's the end of the program. We made through the day. The Florida Roundup is produced by Bridget O'Brien and Alicia Zuckerman. Our engagement editor, Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontado, our digital editor. Our news director, Terrence Shepard. WLRN's program director is Peter Meritz. Our technical supervisor, Jason Zapka. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks for listening.